The coronavirus pandemic has hit the poultry industry on the peninsula. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. Poultry growers in Maryland and Delaware are said to destroy nearly 2 million chickens as a result of staffing shortages at the chicken processing plants. And the trade group, Delmarva Poultry Incorporated, says that every facility has been struggling as workers are sick with the virus or have been abiding by the guidelines to stay at home if they are ill. So what does this mean for the farmers who grow chickens? Virgil Shockley was a former Worcester County Commissioner for 16 years and for over 50 years has been a farmer in the county. Welcome to the program, and what's the situation with the poultry growers here?
Basically, out in the farming community, you've got, especially here on the shore, you've got poultry that, for the most part, sets the prices and everything that we get for corn and soybeans. So without the poultry, if you take poultry out of the equation, then all the corn that we would grow and all the soybeans we would grow would have to be exported. However, because of the poultry, everything is used here. And also because it's used here, we actually get a bonus as far as prices of corn. It's usually anywhere between 25 and 50 cents a bushel, depending on the year, above what they would get out in Iowa. Now, soybeans is crushed, and the oil, basically, Purdue does that, and the oil is used, and the meal for the soybeans is also used in the poultry. So what we actually grow here is actually completely used here, and our world as far as agriculture revolves around those poultry companies as far as the money that the farmers would get here on the shore.
So what's your situation?
Right now, we are out of chickens. We moved, today's Tuesday, so we moved about 16, 17 days ago. And at that time, and I realized, 2 days is a lifetime in this whole fight here. At that time, we were on a 30 to 35-day layout. Right now, I haven't heard a word. I have no clue when we're going to get chickens back. I grow for the largest poultry producer. I'll leave it at that. And he took out a new ad in the New York Times basically saying that they were going to have to do certain things out here in the field because they don't have people on the processing line. And that's what it comes down to. Just the plant workers that are not on the line, so the chickens that are out here in the field currently in those houses basically have no place to go. Part of them, I should say, not all of them, part of them. So we're kind of in a waiting period, I guess. I went ahead and cleaned out. It's just a wait and see. It might be 45 days, it might be 60 days. Whenever this turns around, there will be need for poultry growers, and there will be need for chicken, and there will, life will get back to semi-normal somewhere, I'm hoping, by June or July. And you might actually end up having barbecued chickens out there somewhere, and the fire company is doing their thing, and everybody on the roadside doing their thing, so there will be a need for it. It's just a matter of we got to get through the next probably 4 to 8 weeks, and I'm guessing of the supply side of, and you're going to run out of chicken at some point. The freezers will get empty. The frozen food will get used up, and there will be, when you go into the grocery store, it's going to be tough to find chicken or any other meat that is out there. From the stories I've heard on the hog side of it to the cattle side of it, neither one are any better than the chicken side. So all of them are in the same boat as far as being able to put food on the table. And the restaurants may open, but I don't know where they're going to get their supply of food from.
We understand that a couple of million chickens will be destroyed due to staffing shortages on the peninsula. What does that do? I mean, do you see any other outfits that are depopulating, as it were?
What does that do? That's heartbreaking. I don't even know any other word for it. Yeah, we raise chickens, but at least what we do here, we're a small operation. We have 42,000, so we have two houses. For 7 weeks, we take care of those chickens. That is what we do. Animal husbandry, is something that we're proud of. We produce a good bird at the end of this. Most of the time, it's a quality chicken, and we're proud to serve the consumers. That is just absolutely to grow a flock. It doesn't matter if you've only had them for a week or if you've had them for 4 or 5 weeks. To have to put them down, that's just heartbreaking. And to see all that food just go to waste. That's the only other word I know to use for it. Just heartbreaking.
Do you think that this will mean that some of the poultry growers will actually go out of business if this lasts for a while?
If this lasts, yeah. If this is still going on in the fall, then you're gonna see farms go under. Especially if you have the newer houses with the payments that those guys are paying on a quarterly basis, there is no way they're going to survive.
I know there's been investment in some very large chicken operations. Do you think they could be in trouble?
If you don't get basically out in poultry world, if you don't get four flocks a year, you don't even get your mortgage paid. Five flocks will get you, the fifth flock basically in growing poultry is your money. If you happen to get that every other year like we were getting, where you'd actually get six checks and not five, it's at five and a half flock, but you don't get paid for it. But you get six checks 1 year, five the next. If you catch that year, then you know you're lucky enough to be able to do some stuff. But four flocks just barely get you by. You're better off actually taking a job somewhere because you're not getting an hourly income even at four flocks. And if we're making payments, the amount that they're paying, and I'm talking on some of these large farms, they're paying $60,000-$70,000 a quarter. There is no way that they're going to be around if this goes to September or October. It's just financially impossible. Unless you'd have to forgive everything, the banks would have to forgive everything, and just say, okay, you know, we're just going to push it to the end of the loan. I don't really know. For the first time in my life, I'm sitting here and I've got a corn planter hooked to a tractor, a 12 row planter hooked to a tractor, and of course the temperature's been terrible and the weather's been terrible for April. And I'm sitting here and I was on a call last week, and I unfortunately can't tell you who I was with, but I was on a call last week, one of the questions came up about corn contracts. And I basically said, contracts are great, but, you know, if these guys aren't growing chickens, they're not going to need the corn. And I got this dead silence on the other end. And it was like, for the first time, somebody actually realized that everything we grow here on the shore, like I said, is for the poultry. Everything is grown for the poultry companies. So without them, take that out of the equation, take that money out of the equation, and all of a sudden, is it profitable to grow corn, or are you better off growing soybeans? And that's, believe me, there's a lot of people right now sitting here looking at this and watching and going like, wow, I can actually make it if I just, you know, grow beans and not grow corn. But if I do that, then, oh my, you know, the companies won't have any corn in the fall. So most of the farmers around here plant half and half. That's how we do it. you know, 50% of our acreage goes to corn, 50% of the acreage goes to beans, and that way you're kind of covered. You're covered on if one price is low, the other price is a little higher, at least you can keep going. And but right now, if you look at the Chicago board, corn went down 10 cents yesterday, beans were all four. I mean, you're in territories now price-wise that we haven't been since 1998. I mean, and everything out here, the price of seed corn didn't go down. Price of chemicals, we burned down our cover crop. Price of chemicals, basically the same. The only thing that's dropped is fuel. The only thing that's dropped is diesel fuel prices, and of course, all the tractors and everything use diesel fuel. But that's the only thing that's really dropped. Everything else is still where it is. So because those prices were set last fall, those prices were absolutely set in stone last fall. All those seed prices and everything else were set last fall. And they're not going to drop them. They're going to stay right where it is, and next fall will be, they'll look at it again, but everything's going to stay where it is price-wise. So out here, when you're trying to grow a corn crop and your break-even is almost 150 bushel and the county average is 146, that's rough. You know, that decision, you make that decision. Do you roll the dice on corn, or do you switch off and go to soybeans, where at least you know you can break even on the whole situation? But again, if you do that, then you put the poultry companies, if they're back in business, you put those guys in a situation where they got to import a heck of a lot of corn in here from out west. So, like I said, it's kind of a uncharted territory here that we're in. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at that tractor and I'm looking at that planter and going like, oh, and I'm looking at the seed corn I got sitting in the shed on two pallets, and I'm going like, okay, I've got $12,000 worth of seed corn sitting there. I'm going like, okay, do I roll the dice or not? And that's everybody, believe me, everybody's kind of scratching their head, and the weather's not helping. If it was 75 degrees and everything else, you know, everything was perfect out here, people would just kind of swallow and take a leap of faith like we normally do as farmers and go ahead and put it in the ground. But weather's terrible, ground's cold, it's wet, it's like you're just sitting here and you're just miserable. That's the only word I can truly say that farmers would actually understand. It's just miserable out here as far as everything that we have, you know, we've got going for us. Farmers are probably the most optimistic people in the world if you come right down to it. I mean, you know, what other person would spend the amount of money that we do on the hope and faith that Mother Nature will be good to us so in the fall we can jump on a combine and actually harvest something? Now, you think about it.
So what do you think it means for you if it goes on for a long time? I mean, will you get out of the chicken business then, or is the soybean financially viable? I mean, what's your financial outlook?
If this continues past July, I'm saying probably June, you probably, most of us can make it to the fall. I mean, because we're used to being on a rotation anyway of when the money's coming in. This fall is when you're going to see everything. If this doesn't get back to semi-normal, this fall is when you're going to see everything crash. It's going to be bad. The older farmers, you know, that have little payments, could survive if they choose to. Again, how much money do you take out of your savings account? How much money do you take out of your IRAs to keep going? When you know, I'm 66 going on 67. So, at what point, you know, I was going to hang in until I was 70, maybe 72. But at what point do you basically just cut your losses and say, if they want to put chickens in, you know, if I got the call tomorrow, I mean, we'd go ahead and in 4 days we can get them ready, put chickens in. But that phone call is not going to happen. I don't know how long we're going to be out for. Every day that we're out, every day that anybody is out of a chicken out and not have chickens in those chicken houses, it's money you're losing. There's a there's a, it's a, such a thin line of margin that you have between loss and profit to begin with that, like I said, you got to get the four flocks. The fifth flock is actually yours. And when it comes down, if that doesn't turn around by July, you know, you're going to have a problem on the poultry side. On the farming side, you're really going to have a problem probably this fall if things don't turn around for the poultry companies. And they're able to go ahead and put biddies back in those houses and have people on those assembly lines. And a lot of these, you know, you're looking talking about money, state budgets and county budgets. Those budgets are those proposed budgets. Let me say it that way: the state budget that got passed, forget it. That just went out the window. You'll have the General Assembly back in session by July, working on the state budget, and you'll see at least a 10% to 15% cut. And the county budgets are in the same way. There's no people aren't working. There's no income tax, local income tax. Property taxes, where you get a lot of your funds from, but you know if you've got a property, you've got chicken houses on it. It's the assessed value of those chicken houses. If you don't have biddies in those chicken houses, they have no value. So you can appeal that assessment. So you're going to get a lot of assessment appeals at the county level. You're getting no income tax from the county because people are unemployed, and the state is multiply what the county has by 10. And what they're going to have to deal with because they're paying out unemployment insurance.
Well, is there any financial help for the farmers, the growers, either from the state or from the federal government?
not yet. No. I mean, we're self-employed, so we're not. There's no. Apparently, I got a call from my CPA who basically told me that he was going to sign me up, but there was not a single person that he signed up had received anything yet. I kind of laughed when he called me, and because it was like, hey, the feds have got this website open, and in round four they're going to deal with you guys. And I said, round four, you know, we at that point in time they had just passed the first. Thing, not the second one, but in round four, they're all right. I'm thinking to myself, they're already thinking about round four. This is not a good sign. So, no, to answer your question, no. We either make it or we don't.
Nothing from the small business loans? I mean,
no.
You are a small business.
We are, but yeah. But that money, the first round got chewed up by Harvard and Princeton and Ruth Steakhouse and Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Then the second round's probably maybe what 2-3 days. They'll have that. They'll flood that. There's nothing out here for us. Either we make it or we don't. And that's been the story for a good part of your entire life. It makes you very resilient, and it makes you think out of the box, and it makes you realize that there's no paycheck, and if you don't go out and earn it, it's your blood, it's your sweat and your blood out here that's making the money. With the exception of the cover crop checks, and basically that's almost a break even by the time you put it in the ground and pay for it, and then spray to kill it instead of just disking it, so it's a break even almost on the cover crop. So we're not getting anything. We really aren't. So we either make it or we don't.
By the way, what kind of impact has the lockdown had on your industry and your area?
Probably. I mean, to me, this time of the year, I'm mainly on the farm anyway. I'm either working on equipment or tearing, putting stuff, changing oil filters, putting bearings in, going over planters, doing whatever. Until Sunday was the first time I'd been off the farm, with the exception of a doctor appointment, in a month. But that's normal. I mean, this time of the year, April, May, and June, I don't go anywhere. And unfortunately, the shorebirds aren't playing, and that's my one vice in life. I'm waiting for. That's when you know normal comes back. When the shorebirds, when the stadium lights come on in Salisbury, then you'll know that things are normal. And I'm waiting for that. So it's just stay, do what you can, stay away. I mean, where I live, where we live, there's no one back here except the family. My two sons live on, my son lives on one side and my daughter lives on the other. So it's like we're a family here. So we have very little contact with the outside world unless we go to get a pickup of groceries or to the pharmacy anyway. We choose to. This time of the year, you're just so busy, you don't have any choice. You get the work done or it doesn't get done.
So what has this meant for your neighbors? I mean, those who are not in the poultry or farming business. I mean, I know you were commissioner at one point.
Yeah, I think for the most part, people went along with it. And kind of, to be very honest, we got the COVID is nobody's ever completely explained, and I'm not sure they understand it, and they will at some point. I truly believe there are enough smart people in this country to actually break it down and explain it to someone. But the scary part is it's not like 9/11 and the terrorist attack. People could understand that, and people came together, and people did this, and they see this the COVID as a invisible enemy, and instead of having an enemy they can see. And psychologically, it doesn't help, because when you have an enemy, you focus on the enemy, and you can't focus on this enemy, and it's just there. You know it's there, and every time you go out, you cover up, you do whatever you can, but there, you've got people that have acquired it, and they don't have a clue how they got it. And you have other people, you hear stories about out in California where they had this last November, and people being infected last November didn't know what it was and got over it. So it's troubling in the way that this is something that you can't physically see, and mentally that it definitely has an effect on you, because instead of being, you tend to be more tense, and that is not good for you, obviously. So you try to get life back to normal as much as possible, and try to do things that you can. I've got to the point where I'll go online once a day and just check in and see what's going on, because I serve on a couple committees anyway, and I have to check in with those. But you do the best you can with what you got, and the neighbors are doing the same thing. They're surviving, but at the end of all this, there's going to be a heavy sigh of relief, I guess, when this is back to semi-normal.
Has this affected some of the businesses that you have to deal with, or are they considered essential businesses?
They're essential. Everything we deal with, especially on the ag side, is essential. If we shut down, you guys starve. I didn't mean the way that sounded, but I mean if we don't go to work, then the food doesn't get produced. And 6 to 8 weeks, it'll all come crashing down. And I feel so sorry for the farmers down in Florida. And I mean, when you grow a crop and you can't harvest it, I've been through a couple hurricanes where the corn went down and we basically just lost it. Soybeans is a different thing. You can always get soybeans, but corn, if it goes down and flat, you just lose it, especially if it stays in water, it just molds. So that's got to be heartbreaking. A lot of people have lost a lot of money, and you've got businesses that will never come back from this. They're just gone. And so it's those people are going to have to deal with, and a lot of them, this was their life's dream. So that's going to, the psychological side of this, it's probably going to be worse, almost as bad as the virus itself. The that side of breaking the human spirit is something that is for the most part tough to do, but when it's done, it stays with you a long, long time.
So what sense do you get about the mood of the people there, I mean, in the county at this point?
As far as the county goes, Ocean City, of course, is Ocean City. Those guys, I talked to, I guess, 2-3 guys last week down that way. They want to open, obviously. They want to do it safely, but if they aren't semi-open by Memorial Day, you're looking at a huge loss in revenue. When you look at the state of Maryland's only resort is Ocean City, for the most part, and the amount of income that comes in from that resort, not only just to the county, but to the state of Maryland, they're going to have to be open by Memorial Day, or it's going to be not a good situation. And I think you're going to see that. I hope you see that, because that, like I said, that would lift a lot of people's spirits to see that things are at least getting back to normal. It's far as the rest of the county outside of Ocean City, some businesses are just closed, and they won't come back. The other businesses, the essential businesses, if anything, they've probably increased. The businesses that are open, unfortunately, the government picked winners and losers on this, and they're essential businesses, but they're, you know, it's kind of hard. It's like the guy in Brooklyn that opened his shop yesterday, you know, and his comment was, well, I sell ties, but my ties are $100 and Walmart's ties are $10. You know, what's the difference? I'm gonna use guidelines, and I have no idea if they shut him down or not. But it seems like the government picked winners and losers in the whole thing. Instead of just saying, okay, stay open, you know, everybody cut, you know, in, if there's 2, 3, 4 in the store, then that's all it's allowed, social distance, and keep going. They didn't do that, and a lot of those businesses are going to be gone.
Are you optimistic that you're going to get through this in fairly good shape anytime soon?
I think that I'll answer that question. Optimism right now is something that's, as farmers, you're always optimistic, okay? I think we're probably more optimistic because we are kind of bred that way, for lack of a better term. To be optimistic. Like I said, there aren't many people that would put down the amount of thousands of dollars we put down in the ground and hope that everything works right and so we can get on a combine in the fall. We are that way. I mean, we grow up that way. We're bred that way. So we're more optimistic than most people. I don't really know. I think that the longer this goes on, for every month this goes on, the toll is going to get worse. And that's the one thing that Trump has actually, he understands that. He understands that, I think, a lot better than some of the governors understand that. To his credit, he actually gets that part of it. The longer we stay like this, where, you know, there's nothing going on, the worse it's going to be when we do come out of it. And there's going to be a price to be paid for coming out of this. You can't just keep printing money. You know, at some point, somebody's going to say, hey, you know, here's the bill. And that's the other side of it. What is the dollar going to be worth at the end of all this? And the only reason the dollar is doing anything now in the whole world economy is because they're betting on us to come out of this. Being one of the first ones to come out of it because we were so strong. And it was a good thing we were so strong, because if it had been 6-8 years ago instead of now, and we entered this in the economy of 6-8 years ago, we would have never come out of it. So it was a good thing that we were as strong as we were with the economy that we had, and we were, if there was any fortune to be had, that was the fortunate side of it. I think you're gonna. I don't necessarily agree with all the money that's being sent out. I agree. I have no problem with helping people. I do have a problem helping people to the point where you're paying them more than what they were earning before.
We've been speaking to Virgil Shockley, a farmer and poultry grower, as well as a former Worcester County Commissioner. This has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush. Thanks for listening.